Oh, thank you very much for my shoulder, for your prayers. It's really much improved now. But I still cannot swim because I advised me not to. See, I usually swim about 20 lengths every morning, but whatever the weather, but I think I can't do it now. However, why do we pray? You know, you may have heard of the spring harvest, which is for young people in this country. And every time, there are lots of people who go to the spring harvest. But in recent times, only a handful appear at spring harvest prayer meeting in the morning. It's quite sad, isn't it, that in recent times, people don't see the need to pray, the will to pray. But here, Paul tells us in chapter 6, verse 18, pray always. Pray always. Prayer actually is so important. Pray on all occasions, he tells us. And in First Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. For prayer is really the lifeline of our Christian faith. Prayer is not, Paul is just not calling for a specific prayer. He's calling for a lifestyle of prayer. Well, there are certain times which you go into our prayer closets and we have quiet time. But we need to pray as a kind of spiritual breathing, spiritual breathing. We should do it so naturally, almost without thinking about it. Then Paul calls us to pray with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Is it different from anything else? In a recent survey, they found that 90% of Christians do regularly pray in some kind of regard. But is it really truly praying that we are really speaking to God? For truly to pray in the Spirit is to pray under the influence of the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, be not drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Christians are to live their lives under the influence of the Spirit, not anything else or anyone else. This call for Christians to be guided and led by the Holy Spirit of God in their prayers. That their prayers and requests are not just rote prayers. Sometimes we say, Lord, give me this, give me that. How does this work? Let's read in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 28. It's in page 1124. How do we pray? How does it work? And here is the key to it. Romans chapter 8, beginning from verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things which work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. See, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us with words we cannot express. The Spirit intercedes for us in prayer when we do not know what we have to say. Sometimes when our souls are hurting, when we feel some depression, the Spirit helps us. And in all things, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So what do Christians pray for? Again, he tells us, pray for all the saints. Pray for all the saints. Are we disciplined to pray for one another? To pray for the church? Is the church on our prayer list? Are we disciplined about praying? Time to pray? Time to start a list of prayer? Be reminded that our church, our fellowship should be high on our prayer list. We need also to pray for those who lead in the church and those of our members who are hurting, who are unable to be with us, as you have on the list here. For that we can indeed be growing in the grace of our God, the grace of giving, the grace of our relationship with God. Paul also tells us in verse 19, and for me that utterance, pray for me that at utterance I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. For Paul says, he's a prisoner of Christ for you Gentiles. For you Gentiles. And we note that he is languishing in a Roman prison cell. Yet he doesn't consider himself a prisoner of Rome or Caesar. He says, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. For it is for the sake of Christ, in spreading the good news, that Paul had been thrown into jail. And he says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, for therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We need to pray that we may fearlessly speak to others of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he is languishing in prison, yet all he can think about is preaching the gospel. Paul did not ask for prayers of protection, or prayers for comfort, or prayers for release, but he asked for prayers for courage to stand firm and continue preaching the gospel. That's greatly encouraging. But how committed are we? How committed are we to proclaim the good news? We catch a glimpse of the time that Paul was in, and he says, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace with all them that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Paul needed friends. One of the most marvelous things about Paul's letters is he mentions people by name. For Tychicus is first mentioned in Acts as a friend of Paul. And he shows up again and again in Paul's letters. In a way, Tychicus seems to be a courier of Paul's letters, hand-delivering it to the church of Ephesus. And he wants him to convey what He is doing and encourage them. For Paul's concern is not about himself, but how he might encourage others. And so he greets everybody with the word peace, shalom. Grace to all who love Jesus Christ with an undying love. You see, his prayer was so fervent, so constant. How is our prayer life? Is it always, or always never? Is it constant? Is it erratic? We may ask, Lord, teach us to pray. This is a call to pray powerfully, to pray constantly, not just when problems arise. Pray always in every season. For God is listening, and He wants to have a relationship with us. Let us therefore devote ourselves. Let us be encouraged in our prayer life. For prayer indeed is our means of communication with our Heavenly Father. And just as we communicate with our friends, with our families, with our spouse, it's an important part of relationship. So it is our relationship with God. It's so important that we have a regular time, not just when we have a spare time or when it's convenient, but at all times. Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, in all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray without ceasing. In Mark chapter 1, verses 35, we have a very good verse there. Mark chapter 1, verses 35, page 985 in our Bible. It reveals to us how important is prayer. Jesus himself, very early the next morning while it was dark, he got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. This was the time the whole day prior to that he was so busy healing people. He was in the home of Simon and healed Simon's mother-in-law. You see, Jesus had a very busy day. He had a very busy day teaching, preaching, and healing others. But the next morning he woke up early. He went to a solitary place to pray. It is through prayer and our quiet time with God that we will be spiritually nourished and strengthened. For God blesses us with the tools for us to serve Him, the energy and the strength. As disciples of Christ, we are called to minister to those around us and to lead non-believers into a relationship with Jesus. If we neglect the spiritual nourishment by failing to pray, how can we minister to others? Indeed, we are entering a spiritual battle, a constant spiritual battle. For in Ephesians 6:12, we read verses before that, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We are in a constant battle, and we need the help of God. For the enemy is always ready to defeat us. And when we neglect prayer, we go into battle unarmed. For the spiritual nourishment and protection that we can receive through prayers does not come without a cost. God has made himself accessible to us day and night. Yet so few believers take advantage of this opportunity. Prayer in our world is so important. Our busy lives sometimes interfere with our times of prayer. Our bodies sometimes resist it. Our minds resist it. Satan resists it. But we must pray because it is our necessary lifeline to God. Our relationship with God to be spiritually nourished and replenished. What is the prayer for a disciple? I've drawn this up for us to look at. First, confession. In 1 John 1:19, I've given it to you here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We should pray and confess our sins in our lives when we start our prayers so that we can open the channel of communication with God. If we try to hide our sins and ignore it, we put a roadblock in our communication with God. But as we confess our sins to God, we ask God to look into our hearts and reveal the sins that we are not aware of. David says in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in way everlasting." So as God searches our hearts, our minds, and reveals things that are displeasing to him, take time to confess and ask for forgiveness. After confession comes praise. Or in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10 to 13, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Blessed be thou, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and the earth be thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honour come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great, and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee, and praise thy glorious name." This is a good time to praise God. Our praise expresses our love and adoration for our Heavenly Father. As you praise our Lord, our God, focus your thoughts on his greatness, on his power, on his creation, his majesty, his grace, his mercy, and his unending love for us. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Indeed, use a passage of Scripture to focus your praise on God. After praise comes thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I've written here, "In everything give thanks. In all circumstances give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." Indeed, every day of our life, we have something for which we can be thankful for. We can thank God for our health, for our safety, for our friends, for our family, for our church fellowship. Of course, we must remember to thank God for our salvation. Paul indeed always speaks of the sinfulness of mankind. And he includes thanklessness. Thanklessness and one of those sins. He says in Romans 1:21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not. Neither were they thankful, because vain in their imaginations and their thoughts, foolish hearts were darkened. See, don't allow ourselves to fall into the sin of thanklessness. For God has blessed us abundantly. He desires us to humble ourselves before Him and to give Him thanks and glory for those blessings. Then after thankfulness comes intercession. Intercession is very important in our Christian life. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we read, maybe we should go to that, Timothy, because it reads from 1 to 4. On the page 1180, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Let's read 1180 in our Bible. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And there is only one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. It is good and acceptable in the sight of God. It means that we are responsible to pray for others. How many of us actually do promise to pray for others? Sometimes we find an excuse not to do so. But we need to pray regularly for our pastors, for the leaders of our church, for new life. We need to pray for missionaries, for leaders, for our friends, for our family. For those we know who are in need of some physical and emotional problems. For God will meet the needs of others if we pray for them, just as He meets our own needs. Sometimes it's good to keep a prayer journal. Try to keep a prayer journal, perhaps for your personal Bible study, for taking notes when you listen to the Word of God. And have a journal for prayer life. Keep track of those you are praying for. Go back and record how God has answered prayers. See how God has been working through those prayers. For a prayer journal is a good way, a wonderful way, to keep on prayer's focus and to see how God is working in our lives. Then there is the prayer of petition. In Mark 11:24, "Therefore I said unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye have received them, and ye shall have them." We need to pray for ourselves, indeed for our own personal needs, whatever these may be. We can bring them to God and expect Him to answer for us. We need to sometimes pray for specific things, for personal things. A faithful prayer is one you expect God to hear and to answer. It is also a prayer that is unselfish and seeking God's will, not our own. A prayer of petition is not meant for our own selfish needs, but help us to meet the needs that God desires and to do His will. For Jesus Himself said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee." And when He was on the cross, He said, when He was about to go to the cross, He said, "Take this cup from me, nevertheless, not that I will, but what Thou wilt." For this was Jesus' final prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, in which He asked God to spare Him from having to die on the cross. Yet He asked for it to be the will of the Father and not His own. Indeed, as we ask God for our personal needs, ask God to bless you. Ask God for guidance in your work, in your career, in your relationship, in your personal relationship. Ask God for your need for perhaps a future mate, a future friend. Reveal to Him what is your desire, what is deepest most in your heart. Ask God for protection, for good health, for safe travel, and anything that you need. For through all these things, God will reveal His mercy towards you. For with a humble heart, trying to seek His will, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. For God truly needs, desires to communicate with us, to commune with us on a daily basis. He can't do so if we do not talk to Him, if we do not pause to listen to Him. As we strive to model our prayer life after that of a faithful disciple for God, God will answer our needs. Be ready to submit to God's will and unto the direction that He leads you. It becomes evident that as we continue our discipleship, our commitment to Him, all that we need, all that we require, will come before us. In that way, we can become what we are known as effective disciples. For you cannot go and have a healthy prayer life unless we strive to be holy and acceptable to Him. and you have to submit it to Him, to His will. I think it is important that we have an overall prayer life, our overall commitment to God in our prayer life. We need to be eager, keen, disciplined in our prayer life, to be committed to walk with God. Prayer and discipleship is a duty, but it's also a privilege. We want to pray because our battle is with the devil, because of the pain around us. And only then, by spending time with God the Father, we can do everything and overcome all things through Him. Let us be prayer warriors. Let us stay focused on the commitment we have made to be God's disciples, to be ready for Him to use each one of us in His will. Continue to pray that God would lead us to lead others to Christ, and that He will use us in His commandments to make us good disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. As the Bible tells us, in all occasions, pray without ceasing.